Our theme has been about suffering and the joy found in suffering. And particularly, yesterday I tried to focus a little bit on being the light in the uncertainty of life. And that was kind of the subtitle, is being the light in the uncertainty of life. Now, oftentimes, in the uncertainty of life, we will attempt to solve things by our own knowledge, won't we? You know, and sometimes, habitually, we'll kind of fall into some patterns that are not always, well, they're not always productive. Sometimes these patterns can become destructive. Reminds me of the old farmer that had a nagging wife. Probably none of you guys can relate to this. Do not look at your wife during this joke. But she nagged a lot. And even the neighborhood knew it. And one morning while he was out milking the cow, she was already kind of on the war path, and she was out onto him about something, you know. And so she was giving him the dickens. And she carried on enough that the cow started kind of getting restless in the stall. And pretty soon the cow kicked her right in the head. Killed her on the spot. Now, this is a sad story. It's a suffering. Now, the farmer, being a stand-up guy like he was, at the viewing, he's kind of standing there, you know, and the preacher spies him from across the room, and every time the women would come by, the farmer's shaking his head. Every time he would talk to one of the men, he'd shake his head no. Even when a man and his wife would come up together, you know, the woman would kind of say something, give her condolences, and the farmer would shake his head. And, you know, the fellow would say, farmers. Well, preacher's watching this, you know. And so pretty soon he goes over and says to the guy, he says, come here. He said, what gives? He said, I noticed. He said, every time the women talk to you, you're shaking your head. Every time the men talk to you, you're shaking your head. What are they asking you? He said, every time women come up, they say, well, we're sorry to hear about your wife. Hope she's with the Lord. Yeah. Let us know if you need anything. He says, yeah. He said, and every man says, you want to sell that cow? Now, the point being, I know you're thinking, how's he going to relate this to Scripture? Well, Mark chapter 4. Verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. But take heed to what you hear. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, you see, every man thought that farmer had something valuable. See, you say you want to sell a cow. I ask you, how valuable do your acquaintances believe that Christianity is based on your actions? Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I am grateful and thankful, Father, for your love for us, for the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. Father, for the fellowship that we can enjoy, for the humor that we can have, Father, in the serious business of seeking and saving the lost. And Father, how sometimes we look for the easy way, when really doing it right the first time every time saves time. So, Father, help us to do it right and not be so concerned about finding a way to do it quickly. To remember that there's only one number that does count, and that is the number one. And each one win one, that we let our light shine. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I had a tough morning this morning, just getting here. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. But where's Lindsay at? Lindsay, you feeling okay now? Lindsay got car sick on the way here. And you know, my stomach is big, but it is weak. We got to Dathas, and Lindsay is out fertilizing the rhubarb. For those of you from Beaver Dam, that is puking. And then somebody, I think Dathas grabbed a bucket out of the garage. And I thought, oh, no. No, she's sick. We ain't leaving. Because I can't do this, you know. But she wouldn't stop. So, of course, she's a cute little girl, you know. I mean, how mad can you be? But, man, I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. Well, she gets in the car with the bucket. And I thought about letting her set up front. But then I thought, she's a kid, you know. And haven't we learned this weekend that all suffering has a purpose? See? Well, you know, I'm thinking, what's the purpose here? And then I hear Mom ask her, did you eat breakfast? And she said no. And I thought, that'll teach you. See? Why don't we just leave her here in Evansport where Dathas lived and we'll just come on, you know. But that didn't even enter, I don't think, anybody else's mind. So she got in the car and she's, to put it delicately, she's using the bucket. And I'm hearing this in the front. And I'm I'm getting a headache, you know, and all of a sudden the air conditioner won't get cool enough. And I'm thinking, man, I got to roll this window down or something. You know, I mean, this is not. And pretty soon, I'm getting mad at Lindsay. I mean, I'm not going to say anything to her, but I'm thinking, why didn't she eat breakfast? You know? I'm thinking, I ought to teach her a lesson. You know, somebody ought to say. Because, you know, I got important stuff to do. I've got to attend a meeting this afternoon about orphans in Belarus. Yeah. Well, then it hit me. You know, she might be car sick for my benefit. You see, not all suffering is instructive to the person who is suffering. And we certainly did learn that it is in the day-to-day grind, see? Now see, if I was in Belarus and dealing with sick orphans, I know that I'm going to be gone pretty soon, see? But with Lindsay, I'm thinking, if she gets sick on the way home tonight, you know, where are we going to drop her off at? See? It is in the day-to-day grind that Satan grinds away at each one of us. See? And it is in those interpersonal relationships with the people closest to us that we so often shoot ourselves in the foot. It's a whole lot easier to be the traveling Jehovah Witness, see, and make those contacts, than it is to share people's lives, isn't it? Than it is the day to day down in the puke bucket of life. See? To have to share those things that are not glamorous in the least. You see, there's something attractive about being the light on the Statue of Liberty. See, well, what about being compassionate? What about those things that kind of personally get to you? You know, that you might have a hard time dealing with on the day-to-day. And we pointed out yesterday in Luke chapter 8, another account of this light lamp under a bushel. See, Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 16. No one, when he lights a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. See, covering it with a bushel indicates labor. Hiding it under a bed, you know, would kind of indicate laziness. Apathetic. Who is it easiest to be apathetic towards, see? Well, in the day-to-day grind, see, it's sometimes easier to be apathetic towards those who are closest to us because we tend to hold them to a different standard, don't we? Well, what about those that we perhaps should esteem in the assembly, but you know they're constantly getting car sick? You know, and they're constantly kind of affecting us that, man, you know, I just, ooh, holy moly. I can't hardly stand this stuff, you know. Well, it's a lot easier to have the patience with somebody coming in, isn't it, than it is sometimes having the patience with the people that we're familiar with. So we tend to get a little lazy. We tend to hide the lamp under the bed. Now, I made the point yesterday, too, that one of two things happen when you put that kerosene lamp, see, and you put that bushel or you put that basket over there. First thing is that it extinguishes the light. You know, being the light in the difficulties of life, or it sets the basket on fire. Perhaps destroying the very thing, see, that is extinguishing your light. Because if we just had more money, this would be easier, wouldn't it? Again, there goes the shift in the thinking that the circumstances dictate. Well, you know, the reality is, as was well brought out last night, as Mark brought out, see, you can get used to about anything. I suppose I could get used to somebody being car sick all the time. It happens enough. You get used to it. But there is not enough motivation, see, for me when it starts to grind away. The motivation is going to be lacking if it's simply me getting to heaven. Because that goal gets to be too far off and the day-to-day grinding gets to be too much. And when that gets to be too much, see, that's when oftentimes, I mean, that's oftentimes when suicides take place. Because people just can't take it anymore. It's not the circumstance, it's the perspective, see. What I won't do for myself, I will do for my children. And if my motivation for being a Christian is simply, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get me out of here, it's not going to be sustainable. The only thing that's going to be sustainable is to love others, see? Because I will do for them what I won't do for myself. And the reason, see, that it's so difficult for those people that are closest to us, we more closely associate with them. Well, I'm not saying to distance ourselves, but I'm saying our perspective must be, I will do for you at home, for the stranger and the alien, which is sometimes easier because you don't know their baggage, you know. You didn't just empty their puke bucket. And sometimes that's easier. All right, give them a couple bucks. But when you're dealing with all this baggage, see, and you're not shining the light to attract, you're shining the light under the bed to see what they've been doing. How'd you get like this? See? Well, that's not the light. See, well, generally you know how they got like that. Not, they don't need to be told. You see? And what they need, oftentimes, is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, so that they can see that this light isn't being hidden under a bushel, but it's to illuminate the surroundings. Now, Jesus says that a salt light, the city on a hill, we talked about that yesterday. See, and the differences between salt and light. Now, certainly this light is to be a witness to the lost. Seeking and saving the lost is the same thing as bringing glory to God. There's no other way to bring glory to God than seeking and saving the lost. So everything has to be centered around seeking and saving the lost. That is the purpose. As Mr. Wilson pointed out, there is no greater joy. See, angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Well, what should bring us joy? The one sinner that repenteth. And light doesn't exist to call attention to itself, but to illuminate the things around it. Our witness doesn't magnify what we have done. It's all about our great God. We want people to look at us and say, oh man, you know, these, what a great Christian. No, we want them to say, man, they serve a great God, because their motivation is unwavering. Will your motivation when you leave here continue to see to absorb that light? Or the whiteness of reflecting that light? As far back as I can remember, the houses that we lived in had electric lights. We didn't always have running water, but we had electric lights. However, I remember that we did have some kerosene lamps. I remember my grandparents had kerosene lamps, and the one thing I remember about the kerosene lamp is those globes would get blackened. See? The kerosene would kind of burn the impurities, and you know, the globe of the kerosene lamp, you know how that would get black? Well, it happens in a gradual way, see? Because the longer the lamp burns, then it kind of gets black. Take a look at your lamp. Sometimes it's easy to get it going and keep doing the routine things, but what about closing the globe? See? Because we can put a bushel over it and we can snuff it out. And but you know, sometimes that light can begin to dim, and we need others with lights to kind of help us shine that globe up. What are you going to... You leave here, how's that torch, how's that lamp, how's that kerosene lamp going to look? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, We go back to the metaphors that we were talking about yesterday that Jesus used. That he doesn't say you are practicing to be. You are almost. Or you keep trying. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how is it going to be seasoned? It's good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Now, who do you think's a better coach? Vince Lombardi or Jesus? Oh no. See quotes by Vince Lombardi. He would never allow his team to take the field unprepared. Jesus is not going to allow his team to take the field unprepared. Knows what he's doing in your life. Don't lose sight of that by the temporary things. See? The car sickness that can occur. Salt by itself has no purpose. It is only the interaction of salt that is salt for the sake of the whole. It is the action of salt that gives it value. So the kind of doctrine, theology that you shine up and put on a shelf has no purpose. It's like salt in the shaker. It hasn't done its job. But what's important is getting the salt out of the shaker and into the work. So that we get out of, you see, the shaker and into the work. I don't see salt real concerned about, well, if there were just other salt that would come with me, I'd get it done. No. As salt, by its very nature, is where you put it. Now, granted, sometimes salt will make you go pooey. That's a theological term, pooey. And in the Greek, it's pronounced pooey. So sometimes, sometimes the saltiness of the message is going to cause people to go pooey. We often put a lot of emphasis on our presentation, which we should have a presentation. But I'm telling you, if you are waiting for the time to be right, Satan will see that the time is never right. I kind of heard Spinotti use this illustration. And that way, if it doesn't work, somebody else will take the blame. It's not a real good one anyway, so. If it was, I would. Well, I thought. But, yeah, I've kind of found myself in the same situation, though. So I could tell it like it was mine. People will often say, hey, would you go talk to Aunt Betty? Or Uncle Ed. He's been sick. He's real sick. He's got hospice in, and he's not a Christian. Sure. What are you going to do? Say no? Go talk to him. Go talk to him, you know. Try to give them some comfort. You try to share the plan of salvation because they're. This is critical. And sometimes that salt makes them and the family go, pooey. And you come back and the people say, you didn't upset him, did you? What? Really? Yeah, sometimes they get upset. Because you can't make anybody do anything. You can't convince anybody of anything that they don't want to be convinced of. It's not in the presentation. You see, people are either looking for a way in or they're looking for a way out. And they're either looking for the right way or they're looking for the easy way. And sometimes if they're looking for the easy way, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. Well, you don't have to go, at least I don't have to go out of my way to try and be nasty. I mean, whether I go out of my way or not, I mean, I go out of my way to try to be the other way and I'm still perceived as nasty, you know? But what's important to God is being genuine. You know, what's important to God is not waiting until that critical time. See, if you've waited till that critical time, the chances are not very likely, see? But, to help the family. God does not expect a person to adopt an attitude that is not in accord with his inner self. That's why you got to clean the inside of the cup first. Well, it can happen for a while, and it's called discipline as it happens for a while, as we begin, see, to establish those habits. Salt can delay death. We know that doctors postpone death or revive and maintain regenerative power of an organ by injecting what? Saline. But salt only has the power as long as it's different from the surrounding mass and doesn't fall into decay itself. And salt can be nothing but salt. Whoever has the Spirit of Jesus acts spontaneously as salt and light. And this salt, this light, can only be kindled by fire. The old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, without fire, one can't expect light. Neptune can't turn into a brilliant sun. Black coal, native timber, can be ignited and burnt and turned into warmth-giving fire in order to give off heat and light to fuel power plants. But you know, the one thing with fire producing light and the fire of trials and suffering producing light, when fire produces light, the source material, the timber, the coal, is consumed. We are called to be consumed. If Jesus was called to be consumed, we are called to be consumed. Brethren, this Christian life will kill you. I don't mean just putting to death the old man and taking on the character. I mean it'll kill you. Because if you're not willing to give of your health, your wealth, if you're not willing to give everything, Jesus said you can't follow me. If you're not willing to hate your mother, father, sister, brother, you're not worthy of me. He didn't pull any punches. This thing will kill you. I mean, this thing will be the death of you. And if you think you're going to get by with any less than that, then I would suggest that you find something down here on Church Row that is in the big box store, because this isn't going to work for you. There's something more important than in this than making sure that I'm comfortable. A light on a candlestick consumes itself to give light to everybody in the house. Being the light in the uncertainty of life means that we are going to be consumed in the process. The refining of character, absolutely. But it's going to be the consumption of everything around us. It's going to become our life. It's going to become who we are. We're going to become, in the eyes of the world, radicals. Doesn't he ever think about anything else? Doesn't he have a life outside of... See, the candle serves the light, the household, because its life consists in dying. To spare the candle means to go without light. You gotta love it. See? First John 1:5, we talked about yesterday. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Light leads to clarity, to frankness, to simplicity, to purity, to genuineness, and to truth. Even the sun, the S-U-N, is consuming itself. The S-O-N consumed, allowed himself to be consumed. God consumed him. Why would it be any surprise that we will be consumed? And being consumed entails suffering. But just because we know that, knowing that is a big advantage. See, didn't help Lindsay one bit this morning to say, okay, you know that this happened, so next time before you go for a long car ride, eat breakfast. That was not a help in the time, see, in the time frame that she needed help. She needed mom to hold the bucket. And sometimes, brethren, we need each other to hold the bucket. Because just knowing that, okay, I got the lesson, I know this suffering is for a greater purpose, doesn't help the suffering in the moment. And sometimes we need that help in the moment, don't we? I need you. I need you. There's no way I can do this, see? Even knowing the higher purpose, there's no way I can do this without somebody holding the bucket. There's no way that you can do this without somebody holding the bucket, see? And that's about light. I don't even know if they make these anymore. Dad had this big old light, and I think it was a big square, like a 9-volt battery that this light hooked up to. And it was one big battery, and he carried that light, and he worked in the oil fields, and he would carry that light back and forth to work. Now, you know, when he wasn't looking or when he was working a different shift, I'd like to screw around with the light, you know. He'd tell me to quit screwing around with the light. Well, that's pretty good advice. If you've been screwing around with the light, stop screwing around with the light. The light's got a purpose, you know. So if you've been screwing around with the light, pretending like picnics, you know, fried chicken is going to do it. Quit screwing around with the light. It's too important, see? Use the light for the purpose that it's intended to be used for and share the gospel with somebody. Dad was very careful that he did not want me to run the battery down. So we don't want to run ourselves around like the... You didn't get in trouble for the gerbil thing, did you? Like gerbil in the cage, see? Because we're linear people. And time is linear. Light is linear. And the purpose is that we might become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And that we would shine as lights in this world. Being the light in the uncertainty of life. John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 5. Jesus said, "As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world." Jesus said the Holy Spirit was coming, and that you not only will know Him, but you know Him now. Now, the question is the body of Christ still in this world? Well, absolutely, and not metaphysically. The body of Christ is in this world, isn't He? I mean, if we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, is this not the body of Christ? Is there some kind of Greek syntax, metaphysical definition I'm missing here? Or is the light still in this world? See, the light still is in this world, and we be it. So we're going to clean those globes, see, and fulfill that purpose in each and every aspect. We need intelligent recognitions. We need simplicity and clarity of thought. We need sharp discernment. But while all those things are wonderful and necessary, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about living this thing out, about having the Word indwelled in us and living it out. We can't think of that God is going to somehow, through our power of reason. What matters is to live in and from God's heart, and we're going to find His heart in this Word, and that heart transfer is going to come from the Word into our heart. Like the sun, we begin to shine forth that brightness. Like the S-O-N, we begin to shine forth that brightness. Collectively, individually. It brings the community of people together. We can't do apart what we can do together. Even the day, the night, the day, there is a dying. There is the light giving of itself. And as we demonstrate the day, the night, the resurrection of the day, the man, Jesus giving the light, He suffered the most violently. And while we need to get ready for the big things, the only way to get ready for the big things is to get ready in the little things. To get ready in the mundane. Now, Steve, man, he told all them stories about the Marine drill instructors knocking him around. You know what I mean? Man, that stuff scares me to death, you know? I mean, that's pretty dramatic to me. Probably more dramatic than I can relate to. I mean, I've been knocked on my keister a few times, but well, that's pretty dramatic stuff, you know. But the purpose was that they were getting them ready for life and death situations. Now, some of us haven't experienced that. This is life and death situation. You see, and if you're at the place where the puke bucket needs to be used to speak to you, then that situation is not more mundane. It's where you're at. You see, it's where I'm at that I need to be spoken to. Jesus, you know, the Scripture says, you know, you're not ready for meat, you're ready for... So He gave them milk. So God's given you exactly what you need. He's giving you the exact formula of suffering that you need to have in order to develop the character of Christ. But he's given us each other to kind of soften the blow. And if we don't use everything that God has given us, then we're not very good stewards. And if Satan can cause us to fight and bite and devour each other, then that light, see, is going to be shaded, turned. That light, see, is going to be masked. See? But it ain't natural, is it? It's not natural. It's not natural to give of oneself. We are not natural people. We are spiritual people. And as we are, as that light of the glory of Christ radiates, permeates, reflects. See, that is the fellowship. And as the light gathers the household together, we bring each other together. There's nothing hidden about Jesus. He's not playing hide and seek, and these are not hard lessons to figure out in the sense that you just need to take a look at them, see? Not a single solitary area of life can remain unaffected by the light. So be the light. There is no responsibility in public life, including economics and politics, from which the city on the hill may remain aloof. I had a guy tell me not too long ago, well, let's just stick to Bible study and leave husband and wife, leave our relationship out of it. I'm not even sure how to respond to something like that. I don't know what to say. I'm just stupefied. You know? There is not an area of relationship. There is not an area of our political life. There is not an area of our economy that Jesus is not concerned about. And thereby, in need of the light of exposure, there are no off-limit. There is no sacred secular. Because as soon as you do that, you've created an area where poison and decay and darkness are allowed to set in. Because this area is reserved. Be the light. It's not easy. No wickedness can be allowed to lurk in the dark. It's only wickedness as long as it remains in the dark. You get it out of the dark, it's no longer wickedness. It's called repentance. You change your mind, change your way. The love of Christ, the love of each other. Be the light. Every aspect of life, be the light. Not too long from now, that last living stone set into the matrix, there will be a moment when God says, lights out. Curtain falls. And then there'll be a tremendous burst of light. But until that day, we have a job. What's that job? Be the light.